Good morning, Pastor Tim. Trying something totally different. Because of my situation, I can't be with you till next Sunday, but I wanted to share the word with you this week, and not by just a recording, but also by giving you my presence. So, with the love and grace of God, we will see how this goes. I bring you grace and peace in the name of God our Father, our Lord Jesus, our Holy Spirit. I'm preaching on our scripture this morning from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a. And whenever you see a verse with a letter A or B after it, it means that they more to that verse, but they just took the first part or the second part of it. And this is such a wonderful, wonderful scripture. I just want to read to you the opening verse again, chapter 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. And I love this opening text. Our scripture is from Isaiah, and it is an affirmation, a beautiful and wonderful affirmation of our call by the sovereign Lord, by God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, to be teachers, of God's love and grace and mercy. Now, you may or may not consider yourself individually as a teacher, but the word teacher has such resonance in our Royal Oak community. So many members of our community, past and present, have been teachers, have worked in the field of education, have been associated with lifting up our community through words and actions and examples of their lives in the educational system. This is almost like my preaching to the choir, if we had a choir. But we don't. But I'm talking to you guys because you guys have such a wonderful connection to teaching. And if you recall, last Sunday we talked about Labor Day, and I was speaking about how our work, can be sacred. And our work is sacred because the purpose of our work is to minister, to serve, and to witness. And so everything I'm saying this morning is a follow-up on what we talked about last Sunday. We are called by God to sacred work. And with this perspective from our Isaiah, our sacred work is teaching. Also, I should remind you that the name of my sermon is He Opens My Ears to Hear His Voice. Now, to get into the nuts and bolts of teaching briefly, good teachers know that there are keys to learning, keys to being a good teacher. I've written four of them down I want to speak about this morning. One of them is repetition. One of them is listening. Another is loving your students. And finally, loving your subject. So a good teacher understands at the depths of their heart the importance of repetition, listening, loving your students, and loving your subject. And so, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Please help me through this way of giving a recorded message that the beloved community who are hearing it at Royal Oak in our sanctuary and wherever they are listening online, understand through your word, your wonderful sacred call to them to be teachers of your love and grace, ministers of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as a good teacher this morning, I want to give you some background to the book of Isaiah. First, I have to get my scroll working. Okay. Background, book of Isaiah. When early Christians looked to Jewish tradition so they could understand the life and ministry of Jesus, understand Jesus was a Jewish person, they took the book of Isaiah and they learned a lot from it. The book of Isaiah was not written in one place at one time, but it's a collection of writings that happened over a 600-year period. And during that 600 years, Israel was in a terrible time of upheaval. They had been conquered by the Assyrians, they were conquered by the Babylonians. But throughout that, the book of Isaiah has this beautiful poetry which conveys again and again and again the importance of prophetic servant leadership and prophetic servant service. And so Jesus, growing up as a Jewish person who, on the one hand, knew the book of Isaiah intimately because as God's word, it was his word, but on the other hand, was taught the book of Isaiah in his temple school, took into himself a life of servant leadership and servant service through teaching and healing and compassion. And so as we look at Jesus' ministry, we see him over and over again taking those qualities of good teaching that I talked about earlier, repetition, listening, loving your students, and loving your subject, and applying these to his ministry. But I also want to give you personal examples from my life and the ways that I've applied these techniques to my life. So, he opens my ears to hear his voice. Good teachers understand that one of the keys to learning is repetition. And in our text from Isaiah this morning, that is so clearly and beautifully and poetically stated. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen as one being instructed. So morning by morning, we have God's gift coming into our lives. Morning by morning, if we open our ears to listen to God, we have his message that will carry us through that day. But it's even better than that, because not only do we hear God's message morning by morning, but also our church year is structured in such a way that we go from the birth, life, death, resurrection, and the followers of Jesus after his death, over and over again each year. So the way our church year is constructed, there is a deep understanding that we learn by repetition. We are growing into God's love and grace and mercy by repetition. Every time we approach Easter or Christmas, no matter how many times we've celebrated those holidays before, we are a different person every time we celebrate that holiday. Each year, our lives are different. And because they are different, we approach each part of our Christian year, sometimes with joy, sometimes with sorrow, sometimes with a sense of loss, sometimes with a sense of anticipation. My daughter Emily, when she was in high school, decided she wanted to do crew or rowing. And turns out she was really good at crew or rowing. And her coach, every time he would email her, had this phrase that he put at the bottom of every email he sent to her. This phrase comes from a Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, and it's adapted, but basically her coach said, "No one ever steps into the same river twice. Because it's not the same river, and you are not the same person. And I used to love that. I used to love just having this idea in my head, as Emily did Crewe, that no one ever steps into the same river twice. And you know when you have a teenager that whatever you think you know, you don't know. And that was a wonderful reminder of that. But if we look at the life of Jesus, we also see this in action. Jesus grew up as a Jewish person, acquiring Jewish worldviews and prejudices. And yet, when the Syrophoenician woman approached him and asked him to heal her daughter, and Jesus' initial reaction is to just shun her aside. But when she had such a faithful response to him, he changed immediately, and he took a different perspective. He healed her daughter. He was understanding that you never step into the same river twice. You're never the same person twice. And the person he was when she first approached him, a person who was tired, a person who just needed to rest, a person who might have had Jewish prejudices echoing in his brain, but he became a different person with that connection to her. When the Roman centurion approached Jesus and asked him to heal his servant, and Jesus was so astonished by his faith, and then he ended that interaction by saying that people from all parts of the world are coming to be hear his word, who will be healed, because the Roman centurion was such an example of a non-Jewish person opening themselves to Jesus. You see, Jesus was not the same person the day before he interacted with the Roman centurion as he was the day after. And so our church year over and over again lets us celebrate things in the life of Jesus, events in the life of Jesus, so we may bring them into ourselves as we change, and we may grow from them each time we hear them as we change. Our text reminds us that truly listening to God's word, morning by morning, it allows this miracle to happen. It allows a miracle for God's word, and we've heard this before, but still, to unfold itself in our souls, our hearts, in a new way each day. I urge you to go on YouTube and look this up, but there is a kind of tea. I believe it's called flower tea. And when you put the tea in a cup, as the hot water seeps into the tea ball unfolds as a flower. And before you know it, over several minutes, the cup, especially if it's a glass cup, is filled not just with water, but with a flower. It's beautiful. And that is the way that God's word can unfold in our hearts day by day, morning by morning. A good teacher also knows that one of the keys to learning is repetition, is listening. And that's what I was just mentioning about the Syrophoenician woman, the Roman centurion, listening to the river every time you step into it. So we have repetition, we have listening. But a good teacher also knows that a key to learning is loving your students. And we see this over and over again in the life of Jesus. He loved all people that came before him. He never turned anyone away. He had such a drive to connect and love people that when a leper came to him and his disciples wanted to shoo him away, Jesus' impulse was to walk and to embrace the leper. But there's something else about loving students. And it's an understanding that teachers are always students themselves. You see, if we go back to the first verse in Isaiah, he wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen. And there's a key phrase at the end of that verse, like one being instructed. Like one being instructed. You see, there's no lack of respect in being a learner, in being a student. And Jesus knew this. Good teachers are always learning. A while ago, when I was doing more photography, I gave a lecture at the Art Academy here in Easton. They asked me to do a lecture on André Kertész, who was a Hungarian photographer whose work I loved, and they were doing an exhibit of Kertész, and they asked me to speak about it. And I not only loved his work, but we're both Hungarian, so why not? And I found a story about Kertész really fascinating. He was in a gallery in New York City where he lived. He was in his 80s, and a person who was in the gallery looking at the work in the gallery noticed that this person next to him was André Kertész, famous photographer. And he said, "Mr. Kertész, it's such an honor to meet you. You are so famous. I love your work." And Kertész asked him, "Are you a photographer also?" And the person said, "Oh no, I'm not a professional like you. I'm just an amateur." And when Kertész heard that word, amateur, a broad smile came over his face, and he looked at this person and said, "Me too. I also am an amateur." You see, an amateur comes from the Latin root amo, meaning to love. And a good teacher is a lover, loves their subject. A good teacher is always an amateur. A good Christian, you could say, is always an amateur Christian. Because we are loving Jesus and the work of Jesus always and always and always again. And finally, good teachers not only use repetition and know the importance of that, and listening, know the importance of that, and loving their students, but good teachers also know it's important to love your subject. Sarah, my wife, is a wonderful teacher of painting, but when she's not teaching or painting, I wish you could be in the car with her. I can't tell you how many thousands of times as we're driving, especially on the Eastern Shore, she will say, "Stop the car," or "Slow down," or "I need to take that picture," over and over and over again. She is constantly looking for ways that she can fall in love with the environment, because the environment is what she paints. And so I ask us, beloved worshiping community, to consider that as we love our subject, morning by morning, we lift up our subject, which is the Word of God, again and again, over and over. You know, saying a prayer every morning is easier said than done sometimes. But saying a prayer every morning can open us to new possibilities every day. As I said earlier, we are a different person every day. And so every time we say even the same prayer every day, we will hear those words differently. We will react to those words differently. Those words will touch us differently. And our reading from Isaiah this morning is also encouraging us, calling us to use a daily scripture practice. Each morning before we get out of bed, each lunchtime, at evening when we go to bed, whenever we choose to do this, hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and let it soak into us. And let it comfort us, or challenge us, or spark us, or inspire us in the place where we are at that time will be an astonishingly wonderful gift that we can give ourselves. I know you've heard the Lord's Prayer more than you can count, but every time you say it, and I myself say that prayer multiple times each day, each evening, in the middle of the night when I wake up, because it's always saying something different to me, addressing what I need to hear at that time. To go back to the title of my sermon, He opens my ears to hear His voice. And to go back to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue. We are His teachers to the weary, to know the word that sustains the weary. And Royal Oak, He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. I just want to close with a quote from Professor Patricia Tall. Among all the rich legacies of our faith is this one. We stand in hope of God's justice, mercy, love, a hope that shapes all of us who hold it, morning by morning, into faithful servant of God. And so, Royal Oak, let us know that day by day, morning by morning, God's word and God's gift, God's love is available to us so we can do the work that He is calling us to do in this community that we love so much. We are called to be teachers and bringers of His word, bringing love and mercy and grace to every member of our community. And so let us give thanks and praise to Jesus. And let us give thanks and praise that we are part of this beloved church and live into all of the ways God is calling us to be in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank you for hearing this word, and I look forward, man, do I look forward to being with you next Sunday. Amen.